Good morning and welcome to our morning podcast. Hey, have you ever heard that expression, actions speak louder than words? Well, I have, but I've heard it a little bit differently. I think the way that it seems to come to my mind is either shut up or put up, right? And so it's like, well, that's a little harsh, you know, that's a little abrupt. And yes, it is. But it's like, man, I'm tired. I'm weary of your continual lip service. And it's like, you're either going to do something or you're not. But I'm moving forward here, you know. And so we got to be careful with our impatience. But at the same time period, are we willing to listen when there is correction that comes to our life? Are we willing to consider that to allow change to take place that may be very, very necessary? Well, that's what I want to talk about today, that instead of just talking about it, what are we doing about it? But first, let's pray. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for the fact that you provoke us by your word. There are things in your word that challenge us and cause us to think, is this like me? And so, Lord, is there a way to change? And with you, there is. All things are possible with you. We don't go work on ourselves, Lord. That's ridiculous. That would be our own minds. But when we go and we seek you and we surrender to what your word says and we allow your word to speak into our lives, it's living and active and it changes us. It's amazing what you do to change the heart and the minds of men. Oh, Lord, that you would live abundantly through us. And so we ask you to do that today for your glory. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. So speech and action point to character. And that's what Proverbs chapter 12 is all about. It's communicating a character. And of course, we recognize that the righteous character is Christ. And it's a powerful message. I totally loved listening to John Corson this last week on Proverbs chapter 12. And it was just beautiful how he took us through Christ and the end times of Christ. And I'm not going to do that today. I encourage you to go to Searchlight and you can and listen to it yourself. But in the midst of it, what for me is, what is character? Well, character, the simple definition is that it is our mental and our moral qualities that are distinctive to a person. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that character is always good, right? We realize that. But it just says, are you paying attention to recognizing the true character of a person by the things that they say, but also the things that they're doing or that they're not doing? Abraham Lincoln, one of my favorites, was a man of great character. And in his Cooper Union Address, the Union Address, he's confronting the South because of the things that they are doing. And he says very clearly in that address, he says, actions do speak louder than words. And so that's what we're going to look at today in Proverbs chapter 12. And we're going to listen to see what actions, how actions speak greater than words. So let's look. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Whoa, that says that in the Bible? Well, it certainly does. It says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. It says, man, are you a person who has a spirit of humility about you, that you're able to receive correction, irregardless of whether it's a nice form of correction or not? Hopefully it is. But that it has purpose, and it says, man, I need to listen. I need to consider, is that true or not about me? As opposed to becoming defensive or what I call inferiority deflection cover-up. That's my own little diagnosis there. But that seems like what that is when a man that hates reproof, when he doesn't like to be corrected, when they're wrong and they're not even willing to admit that, what is that? That's a deficiency of character, is what I would say that is. And it's a character that needs to be restored, not just continue to be suppressed, but restored, right? So let's go on to verse 2. And it says, a good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of evil devices he condemns. So the good man, as we know, is Jesus. And of course, he had the favor of God. The fullness of God was in him, right? But the evil man, he condemns. Evil devices, he is a condemner. One who manipulates for their own personal gain. Of course, we know the one that manipulated to a place where there was great hurt that was caused was Judas. But the great hurt that was caused, yes, it was in Christ's life, but for our benefit. But to his life, it was for his destruction. Ooh, do we listen to that? Are we paying attention to what that message says to us? Is that something that's changing us and considering how should I think about my own life and the way that I'm behaving? And am I manipulating people? So it's a question you have to ask, and I would strongly encourage you to consider that. Well, let's go on. Verse 3. No one is established by wickedness, but the root of righteousness will never be moved. Wow. You know, you can build an empire, if you will, but if it's built on wickedness, it'll be known, and it will not last. But you see, righteousness will not be moved, because it's not man's righteousness that we're talking about here. It's God's righteousness. It's the righteousness of God that is received through faith in God, that it's our source of strength, because it's trusting in the power of his Holy Spirit that dwells in us and the living word of God changing us. I love what it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 here. It says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. Live according to the example that Christ gave. Live according to the instruction that Christ gave to us. Live according to his Spirit moving through you, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Man, Lord, thank you for what you have done in rescuing me in my life. Thank you so much. So then let's go back to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, and it says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness to his bones. Can I camp there just for a second? Because, you know, I have to be honest in my own personal evaluation. When I was younger, I did not understand the importance of relationship or what relationship was all about. Mine was selfish. It was all about me and what will satisfy me. Can I just say it was wrong? It was arrogant. It was full about pride. Seeking my own satisfaction. That's not relationship. I did not pour value into another person. I didn't appreciate another person. I wasn't respecting another person. I wasn't protecting the virtue of another person. I was not honoring another person. And the truth of the matter is I didn't know what I didn't know. But when I met Christ, he changed all of that for me. He began to show me what sacrificial love was all about, what selfless love was all about, what it means to love in the way that you honor a person, what it means to be that good man, that man filled with Christ, that's looking for what's beneficial in others, and in particularly a woman. And that woman that I learned how to love happened to turn into being my wife, the one that I invited. Oh, that I asked her to marry me. I'm so glad that she did. But there's a chapter in God's Word in Ephesians chapter 5 that speaks very clearly to, here's the action steps for us to consider. And so in verse 21, it says, submitting to one another out of the reverence for Christ. See, I submit to my wife, not because I'm submissive. It's because I honor Christ. She's more important than my needs. And when I put her needs, but more importantly, before mine, and she does the same for me, it's a beautiful and healthy relationship, and it's one that honors Christ. When it says, husbands, love your wives, down in verse 25, as Christ loved the church, the first mandate is love, unconditional love. She doesn't have to meet a standard in order for me to love her. And it says, and he gave himself up for her. That, man, it's a joy for me to sacrifice for the benefit of my wife, that he might sanctify her. We set our wives apart in the way that we acknowledge who they are so that they recognize that they aren't just a woman, they're a wife, and in particular, my wife. And so then it goes on and it says that we sanctify her by cleansing her by the washing of the water of the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. You see, when we start looking at the opportunity to be able to sanctify our wives, we do that. We cleanse her of the, if you will, the filth of shame and guilt that heartache can bring in life. And we're the ones that lift them up. As husbands, that's what we do. And we're the ones that wash them with water by the word. And that's the rhema. That's the carefully selected words and the way in which we speak those words, the tones that we use, and how we establish the value for our wives so that she knows that there is no one else as important to us as them. And that for whatever is that she may face, is we're always for them, never against them. It's like I don't fight against my wife. No, I fight for her. And so that's the desire that we have as men of God, is the reflection of the character of our wife is representative of the way in which we have cared for her. The stronger her countenance, it's a reflection of us as men and how we're caring for them. So men, might I encourage you to be great lovers of your wife. Love like Christ loved the church. God bless you all, and thank you for joining me today.